Hi, it's JC with the top 5 reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number 1, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. 2, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. 3 and 4, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number 5, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is presented by Hooters. Also, with a nod to our friend Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford. Hooters, of course, the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and hosted our annual podcast draft event last August. Sean Sullivan was there. Sean was the last to leave as well. Sean got a big win in week one of the HFFL, the Hall of Fame Fantasy League, because Ira Kaufman, the Sage, plays in that league. And in an opener not even dwarfed by the 100-year anniversary of the NFL with the Bears and Packers, Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford's team soundly defeating the Sage, Ira Kaufman's team, as Ira benched Aaron Rodgers week one, which looked like a good idea at the end of that game, but he benched him for Ben Roethlisberger, who threw exactly one touchdown less than Aaron Rodgers, and that's none. Thank you, Hooters. Thank you, Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford. Thanks, all of you, to listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This is our fourth year doing it. First time we took an off-season and came back in July. I think that worked well. As Madeline Kahn said, as Lily von Stupp in Blazing Saddles, yes, von Stupp, I feel refreshed. Remember, you can email me with any fantasy football questions. Do not tweet me your questions. Don't. I will answer your questions one-on-one, as I have done for 3 seasons running. Every email, every unique email you send me with a question, I will respond. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And like this podcast, it's free. Unlike the growing trend of fantasy content that even I used to use, like the Matthew Berry Fantasy Show, which moved to a paid subscription service and is no longer on free ESPN television that you would get in your cable package, or Evan Silva, who left Roto World and started his own site, but instead of selling sponsors that pay for people to view his content, he has a subscription-based business. Evan is fantastic. All I'm saying is the trend in the fantasy universe is making you pay for content. I will never do that to you. I will not. Someone even asked me, I think it was last year, as we were making the push to the playoffs and through the playoffs, or maybe it was even season 2 back in 2017, they were very happy that, look, I don't set your lineups, but I'm happy to give you a blunt second opinion if you reach out to me and you solicit it, and you can use it as you see fit. If you disagree with it, fine. It's your team. Do what you want. I have my teams. You can offer opinions on my teams. I'm still going to do what I want. There were gentlemen out in California who, A, wanted to know if I could do a podcast draft event in California at a Hooters. Yeah, we're not there yet. And also said, hey, do you have, I forget what the name for it was, happy to throw you a few bucks based on what we win in the playoffs, based on you helping us out. And I actually thought about it. I even know my colleague, one of the greatest baseball minds out there in a sport I no longer watch, Joe Sheehan, has a tip jar for his Joe Sheehan newsletter. That Joe Sheehan's newsletter is paid content, but he does a tip jar. And I thought about it. And I thought, yeah, maybe I can make, you know what? I don't need it. Honestly, I don't. I worked in national radio for 17 and a half years. I didn't spend any of that money on anything. I didn't. I live very modestly. All right, this isn't a sob story. All my family has passed on. You know, I love my grandparents. They passed on over a decade ago. Only family I have. I have a great circle of friends that are very close to me that I'm happy with. I own my home, don't owe a dollar on it. I own my car, don't own a dollar on it. Now, at some point, Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford, going to help me out with that going forward, and I'm happy to make a payment on a new vehicle. Point is, I don't need your money. I want to do this. I want to provide you free content, unlike the trend in the fantasy universe where you got to pay for everything. So as long as you keep listening to the podcast, as long as you keep asking me fantasy questions, at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, I'll keep doing this. And I'll make Hooters, and Sean, you're going to be on the hook soon too, Bill Curry Ford, pay for it. Fair? Good. Another trend, and why I'm doing this quick podcast this week before I run out making an appearance on 102.5 The Bone in Tampa Bay, and then I'll be doing Ryan Hoppe's podcast. You can find Ryan on Instagram and listen to that podcast. One of the best names for a podcast I know, Hoppe Hour. Better than anything I've come up for with any of my podcasts, Hoppe Hour. Find Ryan Hoppe on Instagram. I'll be on his podcast. We're going to tape it later today. And he, knowing him, he'll crank it out. It'll be available this weekend. But I'm jumping on the mic to quickly talk about a few things. One, I never gave a full review of the Moneyball League that I set up that we had at our Hooters podcast draft event. And I thought of it today because we had the first trade in the dollar sign FL between Better Bird, a wonderful restaurant that caters many of my golf tournaments in the Chichio restaurant group. Matt is the general manager there, and he and his wife came to the podcast draft event. His wife also works at the Fresh Kitchen over in, well, I saw her recently at the Fresh Kitchen on West Kennedy. Also a delicious restaurant. So Matt made a trade today. I had to approve it as commissioner of the Moneyball League with my pal Greg. Now, Greg drives every year from, as Scott Brantley would say, beautiful Ocala, down to Hooters in Tampa for the draft. It's the longest anyone commutes for the draft event. Last year, Greg brought his dad, and we love Greg's dad. This year, Greg came solo. He plays in the Moneyball League. Greg was light at running back. I tried to make a deal with him, and he would only accept Saquon Barkley. And I'm not doing that as the number one overall pick and my only pick in the Moneyball League. So eventually, Greg said no to all the running backs on my roster since I'm not giving him Barkley for a wide receiver. And he made a deal that I, as commissioner, approved, saw no problem with it, with Matt from Better Bird. Matt is giving up Juju after 1 week. I'm sorry, Matt is acquiring Juju from Greg after 1 week, after Pittsburgh's flop in the opening game at New England. And Matt is sending Mark Ingram, who he's deep at running back, but he's sending Mark Ingram, who he probably drafted, I don't know, fourth, fifth round, for Juju, who I believe was a second-round pick. I like the trade for Matt. I know Baltimore's offense after 1 week looks dynamic, and Pittsburgh's offense looks like garbage, but it's part of why I'm doing this podcast, the overreaction factor. I would have loved to have gotten Juju from Greg since he was dumping him. I would have offered him any of my running backs. I would have offered him two of my running backs for Juju. He actually said he'd give me Hopkins for Barkley, but we're a week in. Barkley commonly went one overall. Hopkins went anywhere from four to what? Eight or nine overall. Hopkins had a bigger week one, but I'm not worried about Barkley. He's going to get more touches. The game flow didn't help him in Dallas. The Giants are what I thought they were, and Barkley is the type of player that I want to own in fantasy. I'm not overreacting in week one that, oh, he only got 15 touches, and just as owners shouldn't overreact that McCaffrey had, what, under 50 yards in the Thursday night game against the Bucs in week two. So Greg is scared, so he's flipping Juju for a running back who was productive in week one in a big-time offense. Look, I get it. I get what Matt from Better Bird did there. I get what Greg did there. Now, let me talk more about the Moneyball League. Okay, so I've always wanted to do this with one of the podcast leagues. The Moneyball League was set up this way. An eight-team league. I have mentioned this before on the Fantasy Football Podcast, but let's bring it forward now that the league year has begun. I had the first overall pick, so I took Saquon Barkley. And then I left those seven owners and went and ran my podcast league, the Todd Wright Tour League, and actively ran that draft and picked with the other 11 owners in that league. Meanwhile, the seven other owners in the Moneyball League had a draft without me. Other than Barkley, I had no draft picks. They did a 13-round snake draft, shook my hand as they left, tipped Ty or Camilla, our lovely servers at Hooters, and handed me the draft board. And then I had the next 72 hours to pick my remaining 12 players from the undrafted free agents. That's why it's called the Moneyball Fantasy League. I lost week one when Josh Jacobs scored his second touchdown in the fourth quarter of the second Monday night game. That's the only reason why I lost my week one game. In total points from week one, I had the fourth most. So I feel I have assembled a legitimate competitive roster, and I obviously hit waivers hard week one, and I've upgraded my roster even more going into my week two matchup. So that's where we are in the Moneyball League. I did lose week one, but I scored the fourth highest amount of points, and I feel good about my roster overall from the players that were undrafted. So I'll keep monitoring that here in the Toddcast because it's something that I don't know how unique it is. You obviously know where I got the idea with limited resources because I had Billy Beane on my national radio show all those years. I love the movie Moneyball, where Brad Pitt portrays Billy Beane. My favorite scene is when he trades Pena to the Tigers. And before he hangs up the phone with Dombrowski, he says, "I need you to stock my soda machine for 3 years," because he heard David Justice was pissed he had to pay for Pepsi in the A's clubhouse. I don't know if it's true or not. It's probably not, but it's funny to me that in the movie, it was Carlos Pena to Detroit in exchange for prospects and Pepsi. That was funny to me. So that's where we are with the Moneyball League, and we had our first trade. So now let me talk about waivers, because I love waivers. You have to draft well. I've even said draft chalk. Now, you can throw out guys with red flags or guys who have jaded you in the past. That's fine. But you draft chalk. You're also drafting the foundation, the base of your team to start the season. You start your draft board week one and likely week two. So here's what I did in my foundation league. This is my personal league with my close friends. We went 13 rounds. We have seven starting positions. I've eliminated DST from that league, and obviously tight end is not mandatory. You guys are killing me on the emails with all these tight end questions about tight ends that I don't need to scout in my leagues because I've eliminated the mandatory tight end. Yeah, I know who the Jets tight end is. I'm sorry, you're on your own. But I do occasionally roster tight ends if I feel they have value against the available wide receivers. But I can only play them in one spot, the wide receiver tight end flex. So in my foundation league, of the 13 players I picked, rounds 1 through 13, I have already dumped the players picked 9th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. And I've replaced them. The 9th round pick was Hunter Henry. Duh. Gone. Injured. No reason to hang on to him for 6 weeks. No. Tyreek Hill? Yeah, you hang on to him for 6 weeks. Hunter Henry? No. You don't hang on to him for 6 weeks. I dropped James Washington. A lot of it does have to do with Pittsburgh's lousy performance. I still think Pittsburgh's going to throw it and look a lot better than they did in week one. But there were other receivers that clearly looked like more roster worthy after the first week, namely Brown from the Ravens, who I grabbed. So I dropped Washington for Brown. And then I dropped Henderson for Brown of the Rams. Basically, I just moved up a spot on that depth chart. Instead of Henderson being the guy who seems to be getting the yardage when Gurley is resting his knee, it's Brown for now. So I made that switch. But I didn't overreact to any of my first 8 picks in the Foundation League, like, say, Baker Mayfield or Devontae Adams or Sony Michel, that didn't produce. So I'm advising you the same way. I know you've already done waivers, but as far as your lineups are concerned and trade, slow down. Slow down. And don't overdo it. You're going to see some things in week two that were what you expected from when you went through the draft process. Let me remind you that of the top 15 scorers in standard scoring leagues, overall, independent of position, including DST, week one, roughly 80% were not in starting lineups or were not even on rosters in week one. The only exceptions were Mahomes, McCaffrey, and the stack of Watson Hopkins. That's it. So be careful. I sense a lot of roster volatility, and I know you're into it. It's part of what's fun about fantasy football, but don't drop a player or trade a player so quickly off such a small sample size that you're going to regret later. I'll give you an example. In our Moneyball League, the person who drafted Montgomery for the Bears, and yeah, I didn't think he was worth his ADP. I didn't draft him in any of my leagues. I didn't even think about it. And yes, he was third in touches behind Cohen and Davis in the first Thursday night game. But clearly, Montgomery's a good football player. Nagy's a good offensive coach. Montgomery's worth rostering. So someone in our Moneyball League already cut him, so I picked him up. So I got Montgomery for free. Didn't use a draft pick on him. This was a guy who was being drafted as an RB2 or an RB2/3. And I already have him on my roster, and I didn't waste a draft pick on him. So let's close this podcast by saying not only should you be careful not to give up on a player too early, but be aware of those in your leagues who do. And grab that player. If they were worth drafting, there's a 90% chance right now they're worth rostering. Unless it's an injury or a blatantly obvious situation where their value has plummeted. Again, you can email me any of your fantasy football questions at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I just ask one thing. For anything involving your Sunday lineups, send me the email before you go to bed Saturday night. I'm not in a great position on Sunday morning to answer the emails in time for 1 o'clock games. So if you need something answered and a second opinion before Sunday 1 o'clock games, email me before you go to bed Saturday night at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. You can also add me on Facebook, Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or on Instagram at ToddWright2019. For golf info, and of course, ToddWright21 has been sold out for many weeks, and we have a deep waiting list, and I can't get anybody off the waiting list into the tournament. But if you want golf info, looking ahead to Todd Wright Tour 22, that announcement forthcoming December 14th at West Chase Golf Club, you can email me at ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.